Shalom. It's good to be here with you. It was good to be with at least some of you. How many were there Friday night? Okay, there were a few of you there. It really was a joy to me to see how many young people showed up, doing something that's a little uncomfortable. For many of us adults, it's uncomfortable as well to pass out tracts and to have people look at us, and, you know, there's singing going on and people walking by. It's just an uncomfortable situation, yet we understand what we were doing, and those of you who were there I know did. What a great opportunity. So I just really appreciate the opportunity we had. Last night we gathered for those who were interested and had a informal Bible study, which is, that's, I like doing that. Had coffee and stuff to eat and questions, and it was just a great time. And just an encouragement to you to pick up your Israel My Glory. This particular issue is the kind of issue you might even want to take an extra one if we have any back there. Pass it on to a Jewish friend. This is a keeper. I don't know how many of you are fishermen, but you understand if you are. This is a keeper. This is the kind of thing that you can look at, refer to, become familiar with it. And if you'd like to get Israel My Glory and you don't receive it, there was a sign-up sheet, but now I don't see it there. Somebody took it away. I need the sign-up sheet or I can't send you the magazine. So I need your name, address, and zip code, and we'll be glad to do that. We're going to do a couple things today. I'm going to give a short message, a little shorter than normal, and then what a joy it is to be able to see one of God's people follow the ordinance of baptism, and you're going to see that shortly as well. And I'm going to just talk a little shortly before that happens. You know, when I was in college, freshman English, we were required to write a poem. A poem. Now, I don't know how many of you ever attempted to write poetry. I have to tell you, I don't like poetry. I don't like reading it, because I usually don't understand it. And I certainly don't like writing it. That was one of the hardest assignments that I was ever given. I can remember to this day, in those days we had typewriters, and I would type and throw the paper out and crumble it up and throw it away. And I mean, working, honestly, 5, 6, 7 hours trying to come up with a poem that hopefully would be respectable enough, finally did one, got a D minus on it. So wasn't even worth all the effort. But sometimes you come across a poem and it really makes you happy that at least there is some poetry. I'd like to read you a poem. It's an anonymous person. I don't know why they'd want to be anonymous. I kind of like it. I'd like to know who they were. But the title of the poem is, How Do You Live Your Dash? Now, you might not know what a dash is. Well, you will shortly. Here's the poem. I read of a man who stood to speak at the funeral of a friend. He referred to the dates on her tombstone from the beginning to the end. He noted that first came her date of birth and spoke the following date with tears. But he said what mattered most of all was the dash between those years. For that dash represents all the time that she spent alive on earth, and now only those who loved her know what that little line is worth. For it matters not how much we own, the cars, the house, the cash. What matters is how we live and love and how we spend our dash. So think about this long and hard. Are there things you'd like to change? For you never know how much time is left that can still be rearranged. If we could just slow down enough to consider what's true and real, and always try to understand the way other people feel, and be less quick to anger, and show appreciation more, and love the people in our lives like we'd never loved them before. If we treat each other with respect and more often wear a smile, remembering that this special dash might only last a little while. So when your eulogy's read with your life's actions to rehash, would you be proud of the things they say about how you spent your dash. Great little poem, and from a believer's point of view, for those of us who know Jesus Christ as Savior, we don't live our dash to somehow get to heaven. But you know, God gives us a period of time on the earth. We come to know Him. What do we do for Him during that time? Convicting little poem, one that I thought was an encouragement. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Numbers. Numbers. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, chapter 6. Numbers, chapter 6. When we look at the book of Genesis, and I'm not asking you to turn there, we're in Numbers. When we look at the book of Genesis, there was a time that Isaac was going to give a blessing. He was going to give the blessing, he thought, to his son Esau. But there was a little deal made between mother and other son, and that deal was struck, and they took advantage of Isaac's eyesight, and as it turned out, Isaac blessed, from his point of view, the wrong son. And when Esau found out, he cried, the Bible says, with exceedingly loud cry, and said, "Bless me, even me." Blessing. Have a blessing. In Judaism, there is a blessing that is given. And it's given, it should be given, every single week. I'd like you to look at it. It's found in Numbers chapter 6, starting in verse 24. And it says this: "The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them." That blessing is called the Aaronic blessing. Interesting thing, I don't know how many of you are Trekkies or know about Trek, Star Trek. There was a character by the name of Spock. Spock had an interesting greeting. He would put up his hands like this, and he'd say, "Anybody know it?" Nobody wants to admit it. "I know it. Live long and prosper." Now, Leonard Nimoy was the actor, played the character Spock, and people often wonder, how did he do that? How did he know to do that? Where did that come from? Did he make it up? Actually, he didn't. A Spock, who's Jewish, kind of funny, a Vulcan being Jewish. We're everywhere, I guess. But Leonard Nimoy is Jewish, and he took the Aaronic blessing. That's what this is, the Aaronic blessing, where the priest would actually hold his hands like this, put them together, and recite this blessing. And so he just took half of it and added a different sentence. But the idea comes from this Jewish blessing given right in the Torah, coming from Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 to 26. Looking at the background to that blessing, hold your finger in chapter 6 and go back to Numbers chapter 1. Numbers chapter 21, and verse 2, it says, "Take ye the sum of all the congregation of Israel, of the children of Israel, after their families, by their house of their fathers, with the number of their names, every male by their polls, from 20 years old and upward, all who are able to go forth to war in Israel." When we think what God told through Moses, telling them, they needed to take statistics. They needed to find out a census. They needed to know how many families, how many men in the father's house, every male who's 20 years old and up. So in Numbers chapters 1 through 6, first we see statistics had to be taken. The census had to be given. They had to know how many men 20 years old and under. Well, also in that same chapter, in verse 52, chapter 1 and verse 52, it says, And the children of Israel shall pitch their tents, every man by his own camp, and every man by his own standard throughout their hosts. So first they had to take statistics. They needed a standard. They needed a census. And then they had to raise their standards. Each tribe was given a flag. Each tribe was given an emblem. Each tribe was given a specific place to stand when they moved. And remember, they were moving 40 years around in the desert. So to the north was Dan, Asher, and Naphtali. To the south was Reuben, Simeon, and Gad. To the west, Ephraim, Manasseh, and Benjamin. And to the east, Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. Well, what were they supposed to do? What did God want them to do? Certainly they marched around. Was there anything that they were supposed to do? Well, in chapter 3 and verse 40, it says, "And thou shalt take the Levites for me. I am the Lord, instead of the firstborn among the children of Israel, and the cattle of the Levites instead of the firstlings among the cattle of the children of Israel." Well, the Levites, according to this chapter, you were supposed to take the firstborn instead of all the firstborn among the children of Israel, take the firstborn for the Levite, to be a Levite. And so the Levites were to have a separate life. They were to live separate from the rest of the people. What did that mean? Well, that would mean, as you look at their life, they were to stay away from lepers, could not be around them in any way. They were not allowed to marry a divorced person. They had to lead separate lives. And in chapter 6, there was a voluntary thing that the children of Israel could do. They could take what's called a Nazarite vow. What was involved in the Nazarite vow? Well, first of all, they had to separate themselves unto the Lord. There had to be a voluntary action of being separate for the Lord. What did they have to do? Verse 3. "He shall separate himself from wine and strong drink, and shall drink no vinegar of wine or vinegar of strong drink. Neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes, nor eat moist grapes or dried. All the days of his separation shall he eat nothing that is made of the vine tree." So, according to the text, the people who wanted to. Now, this was a voluntary thing. Look at verse 6, verse 1 and 2. "And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When either man or woman shall separate themselves to vow a vow of a Nazarite to separate them from the Lord." This was a voluntary action. They were going to do it for a period of time. To be The English word translated from the Hebrew is sanctification. To be separate for a period of time. To separate themselves from things that other people did. And to do that, again, for a short period of time. That's the backdrop, by the way, for this blessing. The background is first numbering the people, understanding they were to be in a specific place. There was a certain order by which they do things. This was the way they were going to live their life and did live their life for a long period of time, some 40 years. Had to march from a certain place, had to do certain things. They had to know who was going to be in the army, all those things being true. And then we come to this blessing. Well, the question could be asked, who recites this blessing? In the context, the person who recites this blessing, first of all, is a Kohen. What's a Kohen? Any of you know anybody by the name of Cohen? Last name? Oh, there's a... Okay, Cohen. The chances are very good, if their name is Cohen, that they are a descendant, whether they know it or not, and chances are they might know it. At least through oral tradition, they trace their ancestry not just to the tribe of Levi, but to Aaron himself, the high priest. And so it was the high priest, the Kohens, the Kohen, who did that blessing and pronounced them upon the people. Now, what does this blessing have to do with for today? There's an interesting tradition that goes on, and one that I think from a Christian point of view, and I can't even tell you that I've adopted it. Shame on me. But it's an interesting tradition, and it's happened to me as well. Every Shabbat, the Sabbath, when you read some old commentaries, you will find that they will talk about the Christian Sabbath. It's a shame that they do that. There is no such thing as the Christian Sabbath. There is the Sabbath. When is the Sabbath? Saturday, not Sunday. Some people think it's Sunday. God never changed the Sabbath. Sabbath is when it was given, and it hasn't changed. Now, why would people call Sunday the Christian Sabbath? Well, what happened is, after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Jewish people who were worshiping on the Sabbath, wanting to commemorate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, which took place on the first day of the week, the believers were told in the Bible, gathered on the first day of the week to commemorate the resurrection, to remember his death, burial, and resurrection. Sabbath has not changed. Still Saturday. But those of us that know Jesus Christ as Savior, we're not even to regard one day higher than another day. But we choose to worship on the first day of the week as a remembrance to Him. But on the Sabbath, which, by the way, when does the Jewish Sabbath begin? Friday. Yeah. You know, Jewish time is a little different than Boulevard Bible Chapel time. Although I always find it interesting when I travel around, you know, Jewish people have the reputation of being late. It's called Jewish time. Well, you know, I've been to enough places to know that I notice that there's some of you who run on Boulevard Bible Chapel time. Certain things run at a, you know, certain things start at a certain time, but not for you. Well, you're not unique, by the way. Just about every place has a group of people like that. But when we think from a Jewish point of view, we go by the clock. 12 o'clock comes midnight, it's the next day. Jewish people don't do that. Now they do so for business purpose and for cultural background and things like that. But for a holiday, or an event like the Sabbath, the moment the sun goes down, it's the next day. It's important to understand when you try to answer the question, which day was Jesus crucified? Well, you got Wednesday people, you got Thursday people, and you got Friday people. Look, I'm not here to even, I believe it's Friday, you believe it's Wednesday, Lord bless you. I know there's godly people who differ. But I think it's important to understand the timing of the Sabbath. When the sun goes down, it is morning the next day. And when that happens, the Jewish people, and including me when I was growing up, we had our Sabbath meal. By the way, Sabbath meal is going to be the best meal of the week. It was a special day. In fact, according to Judaism, the most important day of the year. Many people say, oh, the most important holiday or holy day is Yom Kippur. Say, no, it's not Yom Kippur. Oh, boy, it's not Yom Kippur. Well, certainly it must be the new year, Rosh Hashanah.
No, it's not Rosh Hashanah.
Well, maybe the Passover, 8 days. Maybe that's the most important time. Not according to the rabbis. The most important day of the year takes place 52 times. The Sabbath. It is the queen. It is the bride. It is the most important time. And the Jews don't look at it as a burden. They look at it as a joy. It is a time when we come together as a family. It is a time where we gather around the Word, where we worship God, where we stop what we normally do and concentrate on God.
Now, I'm all older than many of you, younger than some, but older than most of you. And I can tell you that there was something called blue laws.
Some of you don't even know what that is.
Now, when I was celebrating the Sabbath as a Jew in Ohio, I can tell you that Sunday, nothing was open. Now, remember, Saturday, I was in synagogue, but Sunday, nothing was open. Maybe a gas station, and maybe you could find a drugstore in case you were sick to be able to fill a prescription. But that was rare. Most people on Sunday, just 40 and 50 years ago, would go for rides in the car, and they'd go for a walk in the park. There wasn't stores to go shopping in. Restaurants were open a few, but most people didn't go the way they go now. So Sunday was a day of rest. It was a day to spend with your family. So for me, I had 2 days in a row from a Jewish point of view, and then had no choice. Sunday couldn't do anything anyway. But the point is that on Shabbat, picture it. You got your family seated around. The best china that you have, or the best dishes that you have, the best food that you're going to eat during that week, the best clothes that you can wear, and the father and the mother and the children are seated around the table. And as the Sabbath comes, the father calls his children to the head of the table. And he lays his hands on their head, and he says this, "The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift his countenance upon thee and give thee peace." Now, we live in a time where children, it's unfortunate, but children and parents and the way homes are split up and difficulties that we have and the high-pressured life we live. I imagine if I asked you, do you have 1 day a week where you can sit as a family and eat together? Some of you will say, oh yeah, we do it more than once. But there'll be some of you say, you just don't know my house. Yeah, things are just topsy-turvy. This one's working and this one's not. On and on it goes. And I certainly understand that. But try to imagine in your mind that every week, a committed, orthodox, observant family will not only eat together, but the father calls his kids to the head of the table and pronounces on them a special blessing for them. Oh, it comes generically from the Bible. It's given by Moses. But the point is, the father is taking the time and pronouncing a blessing on his kids. What do you think that does? Well, there's a couple possibilities. If it's done every week, you know the danger. It can become rote. Oh, yeah, Dad's going to say a bunch of words. Lord bless thee and keep thee. Yeah. Yada, yada, yada. Certainly a possibility. No doubt about it. But there's also the possibility that, hey, this is something special. This is a blessing that my father can place on me. This is the kind of thing that he doesn't have to do it. But he's taking the time, and I'm special to him. Not only am I special to my father, but God regards us as special to him. So it can communicate either message. And I would imagine from time to time, it communicates both. Sometimes if you're in a good mood, it's, boy, Dad, you're a wonderful guy. Thanks for this blessing. And father loves his kids and is happy. Wonderful. Next week comes, they had a little issue with mom. Something happened at school, report cards came, whatever it is, and the blessing isn't said with such enthusiasm, and it's not received so well. But again, the point is, it is something that's practiced on a continual basis. When we think of those words, 15 Hebrew words, 3 in the first line, 5 in the second line, and 7 in the third line, we're told that as we look at this particular lines, it says, "He who decrees," or we can learn, "He who decrees who is blessed, may he bless. He delivers security and protection, may he keep. He delights in giving grace, be gracious. He declares his favor unto us. He discharges his peace." Turn with me to Psalm 80. Psalm 80.
And in Psalm 80, just a couple verses to look at. First, verse 3. The text says, restore us. King James Version uses the term, turn us again. The term, Hebrew term, has to do with turning, turning around. Restore us, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Verse 7, using the same word again. Restore us, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. And then verse 19, the same word again, to turn. Restore us, O Lord God of hosts, cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. As we think about this verse as it relates to being a Christian, we need to understand that we are an heir to God. That the follower of Jesus Christ, we seek a blessing from Him, and we are blessed. The Father blesses us. Well, how are we blessed by the Father? Pretty simple. He sent His Son. The Son favors us. Well, how are we favored by the Son? Well, if God the Father sent the Son, God the Son saves us. And then the Spirit protects us. Well, how does that happen? By sealing us with the Holy Spirit. So we're blessed by the Father through the Son, we're favored by the Son who saves us, and we're protected by the Spirit who seals us. You know, it would be nice as families if we can somehow maybe pray a certain prayer that will bless our kids, and you can do that. Be imaginative. But I think it's just as important to understand that as followers of Jesus Christ, we can impart this blessing to others. We can say, certainly use the words, may the Lord bless you and keep you. But you know, on Friday night, you were actually imparting a blessing. You were actively trying to impart a blessing by sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Oh, you didn't extend your hands out like this. You didn't call them up, place your hands on their head. But for those of you who are handing out tracts, and a rough estimate that there were some 2,000 to 3,000 tracts that were handed out on Friday night. I want to tell you, by handing out the good news of Jesus Christ, you were trying to impart a blessing to someone else. And there's another way that we can bless. We can pray. Shortly, we're going to see one of God's chosen people came to know Jesus Christ as Savior. Follow through in the ordinance of baptism. Well, this doesn't happen in a vacuum. There were people who imparted a blessing to him long before he even knew it. And the way they did that was they prayed for him. You know, we have Wednesday night prayer meeting. It's always interesting in a place, and I'm as guilty as many others. Wednesday night is always the lowest turnout. And yet, as children of God, it's the highest endeavor we can do. Pray. There's nothing more important. And yet, for most of us, it's what we do the least. Maybe it would be an encouragement to us if we think in terms of praying as imparting a blessing, an opportunity. We share our faith, we pray for those we share our faith. Brother is hurting, a sister is hurting, we pray for them. When you do that, you are heaping blessing upon them. What a worthy thing that is. So, you know, Spock says, I know most of you never watch Star Trek, I'm the only unspiritual one here. He says, live long and prosper. For the believer, we say, live eternally and flourish. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the opportunity that we have to look from the Old Testament, the Jewish scriptures, and see a blessing that is still going on today as fathers will bless their children. Lord, may those of us who are believers, Christian men who are dads, Lord, indeed, may we continually be on our knees for our kids. pray for them and somehow be able to communicate how much we love them and indeed how we want to bestow a blessing upon them. So we ask your blessing on our kids, the next generation of believers, and ask that you would encourage them and use them. And Lord, as we have a special song and then the next part of this service, we ask you to bless each part. What a joy it is to be able to witness any of your children who are willing not only to trust in you as Savior, but publicly proclaim that truth and be willing to demonstrate it in a way that you commanded us to do. So we praise you and thank you in Christ's name.